Welcome back. We are live at Coco's Pub. It is 11 o'clock. I haven't been on time all week. Every single guest has either been on late or later for most of the week. But we're on time today. And I'm not even keeping like a hard clock today. Rasig is going to be here a little later on, and Luke Jones is going to be here in an hour. Luke has never had a Coco's crab cake. John Hoey's never had a Coco's crab cake. Is that correct?
I think that's accurate. Yeah.
How are you from the Y? I just put up a picture because I was at Costas all day yesterday. My son produced me yesterday, hanging out. He took no pictures of anything I did. I took no pictures. We went off the air twice. I got back on the air within 3 minutes. And then I cried 5 times yesterday because people were making me cry. Uh-oh. And we had a whole bunch of canned goods. And I got home at like 7 o'clock. My back hurt. I didn't have one picture on my phone. I didn't take any pictures. So I yelled out online, hey, take some pictures. Anybody took pictures? And then I got inundated with everybody who took pictures. So I put them all up. So today I put it up. And I just my status was, why not? Status.
Why not?
John has been a member of YMCA for many years, and the Y, and I didn't even... Marcella, I'm telling you, I had serendipity this morning. Marcella's going to be the next guest, all right? So she's out here.
Nice.
This morning, I have a Pacifica belt buckle collection, about 120 belt buckles. They're from the 70s. They're all rock and roll belt buckles.
Cool.
I always try to theme myself and pick one that means something today. Like, I picked the Peter Frampton one based on a song, you know, last week, you know. Do you feel like we do?
Oh,
the
yeah.
day that the Orioles got sold, I wore that one. Okay? Seriously. So this morning I'm in there about 7 o'clock and I'm beaten up, my back hurts, and it's day 3, and I'm wondering why I did this and how. I know why I did this, but why I did this. And I looked up and the first belt buckle I saw was the Village People.
Oh yeah.
So hang on. Hey, this had nothing to do with you. This has nothing to do with you until 30 seconds ago. I looked up at this Village People belt buckle, all right? And I said, I looked at it and I thought, all right, I'm in Lauraville, and I'm thinking to myself, all right. And I thought of Marcella, and I saw your face, and when I saw this, I thought of Harvey Myers. Harvey Myers was the man who owned the Emerald Tavern back when I was the DJ there, and Marcy and I were there watching Sunday football, and every Sunday night, Harvey would run around the bar and give free beer out, and we would play YMCA. And instead of young man, we would yell, Harvey. Harvey. Nice. Yep. You know, and he would dance. He was this big old jolly guy, drank Diet Coke. And look at her laugh. She's laughing. I'm going to talk to you about this 20 minutes.
Good memory.
So I wore this, and my wife, and I'm such a ball of energy. I wake my wife up at 6:20, and she hates that I'm like there, because I've been awake since 3 in the morning, and I'm a pretty high energy cat. And I yelled down the steps. I said, today's going to be a freaking awesome day. And she's like, why? And I'm like, I'm wearing my Village People belt buckle.
Uh-oh.
She's like, why? And I'm like, Harvey. And she's like, oh, that's awesome. And then I didn't realize till you sat down. And I just said the words YMCA.
Right.
I even say why not and didn't think of this.
Right.
This is true serendipity.
Serendipity.
This is true serendipity right here.
That's what that word means.
So there. I didn't cry talking about Harvey, but I might in 20 minutes.
Yeah,
so anyway.
I've never met any members of the Village People, but, you know.
Bobby Nick, the late, great Bobby Nick, would MC and DJ our Nasty Nice Guy Awards.
Uh-huh.
And every year he would hand, someone was the cop, someone was the Indian, someone was the police, you know.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
and
yeah.
I always had to be one of them. I usually was Elvis. He had this Elvis thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And me and my staff would get out and do the YMCA. Hockey games. They've done it the 7th-inning stretch in New York for 50 years, right? Like, ever since.
Yeah.
You have some branding,
well,
John.
Yeah,
you know?
It's, you know, that's an interesting story. I mean, I, as you probably know, I didn't grow up as a Y guy. I came to do this job mid-career, and so it's been funny.
I don't know. Where did you come from? Tell everybody. My audience needs to know.
Well, professionally, I spent my career in the private sector. I worked for companies like Citibank, and then I spent...
I thought you were in the banking industry.
And then I spent 11 years working with Doug Becker at Sylvan, and then joined him and several others to start a company called Laureate, which went on to become the largest for-profit higher ed company in the world.
Banking, education, and
I also worked in the apparel industry to start my career. So I was you know, I was a business guy. I enjoyed my career. I did a lot of international work, business. A lot of my career was international. So
you flew a lot, is what you're saying? Yeah, frequent flyer miles.
I have way too many miles and way too many stories. But
which, next time.
Well, that's a rabbit hole. So I'm the, you know, I'm sort of the guy you would never have expected in this role. So I never thought about the Y hole. I probably had been a member of maybe the Y once in my life.
I went to the Dundalk Y when I was a boy. We swam there. Yeah.
I was a member of the Y when I lived in Toronto for 2 years working for Citibank.
Okay.
It was near my place. I didn't know anyone. And so after work, I'd go there. I'd play some basketball, work out, end up meeting just a group of people. So, I mean, it's not a very fascinating Y story, I have to confess.
How long have you been at the Y?
A lot of years now. I was recruited to do this job in 2006. So I have been there now coming on to 18 years. I started when I was 17. So
you lie, you don't get any free soup here today, John.
Yeah.
You know,
I figured I'm going to have to pay anyway. So
I got to ask you this because it's been controversial. Maryland crab, cream of crab mix. You're a real Baltimore guy, right?
Like, I am so, now. Yeah, like, I've lived here a long time.
Yeah, I mean, like, there was no such thing as the mix back in the day. This is kind of a new thing.
I don't think you mix.
You don't do it. You're against it?
I'm Maryland crab. You know, cream of crab is great, but man, is that heavy.
It's nice here. They put a little sherry in it here. It's nice.
I'm sure it is excellent.
It's delicious.
We know that, you know, I'm not saying it's not great. I'm just saying, like, Maryland, straight Maryland crab soup.
Nothing beats it.
Yeah. I mean, that's the way I would roll.
All right. So what's going on with the Y? Tell our audience what the Y used to be and what the Y is and where the Y is going.
Well, all right. I'll try to make that really short because that's a...
I got plenty of time.
Yeah. Well, the interesting thing about the Y is we're, you know, 170-plus year organization, right? So started during the Industrial Revolution, and started as a place for young men who were coming from the outlying areas into cities as we started to industrialize as a country, who were wreaking havoc because they were a bit out of control, first time in the city, you know. And there was
A lot of opportunity.
A lot of opportunities.
In the 1800s in Baltimore City.
Yeah, Baltimore City.
We were the fourth biggest city in the country at that time, right?
And it started in London, but then came to Boston and sort of just came down that East Coast. The major city started a YMCA. And so...
Was it a boxing thing at that point?
No, it was originally started as a religious organization that helped young men get their act together, meet each other. And then it launched recreation as a means of occupying time and
intramural sports.
Yeah,
right?
And getting people active, and so they weren't active doing other negative things or active doing positive things. And then over time, like so many things, it had to evolve and adapt to meet the needs of a changing world, changing community. In the case of Maryland, Central Maryland, Baltimore, a changing town. So if you then fast forward, so along the way, created a lot of things, invented a lot of things. The Y invented basketball. The Y invented volleyball. The Y invented Father's Day. The Y invented, I could go down and the list goes on. A lot of things you wouldn't.
The Y inventor, basketball, okay.
You know that. You probably know that.
Well, James Naismith,
Springfield, Massachusetts. Volleyball, you go down the list. So, and those things were simply ways of coming up with programs or activities that came out of creative minds.
But Father's Day was about dad and son,
yes.
Or dad and daughter, maybe even then.
Well,
about
emphasizing the role of fathers.
Right, okay.
And then over time it became just another reason for somebody to buy you a golf shirt.
Right, or a tie.
Or a tie.
Or
you know,
dinner at Coco's or something. That's
well, that would be
too.
Probably the most useful gift.
I hope so.
If you fast forward all the way to today, what we really are is we're an organization that serves the community but ultimately builds a sense of community. And it sells a healthy, inclusive, connected community. And we are not a religious organization anymore. We are. We simply talk about the why. We are actually, we serve more women than men. We serve, our employee base is 2/3 women. But we're there to serve the community through a wide range of things. So most people know our centers, our big Y facilities, but we're the largest youth serving organization in the state. So we're the largest early childhood provider in the state. We are the largest community school provider in the state. We serve probably as many seniors as virtually any entity you could name. So what we do is, through various means, we reach people where they are. We serve individuals, families, communities to help make them healthier, more connected. We partner with families to help kids through life. You know, I'm a parent. You're a parent. You were a kid once. I was a kid once.
At the Y in Dundalk, and I'm sure it's changed.
Neither one of us. I'm sure we're perfect kids. I mean, maybe you were.
Well, I mean, I had a great neighborhood and great parents. I'm from Dundalk in the 70s.
Yeah, yeah.
We had a support system there where neighbors looked out for neighbors. We had a backyard to play in. I talked about St. Peter's Church the last 2 days. We played stickball, baseball.
But you had a community, whether you even thought of it that way or not. And those communities still exist.
That's a blessing.
But communities have frayed. And so, I grew up in New York, but same thing. I mean, we didn't even know it, but there were moms, I'm sure, looking out for us that we didn't even realize, you know, as we did dopey things around the community, harmless, but dopey things. But we're there to really support the community to help people stay healthy, active, engaged with each other, engaged with their own families. And we do that through so many different programs. I always tell people, I can't list all our programs. It would look like the Dead Sea Scrolls. You can't operate at the scale we operate at unless you do a lot of different things. And you can't just do it out of our great Y family centers. You've got to be in schools. So we're in something like 80 schools around the region. You can't do it without providing early childhood because, you know, kids are at their most vulnerable before they hit school, and parents need early childhood development and early childhood centers because they got to go to work.
It's the hardest thing to do.
Right?
That's the hardest time in life.
Sure. And so,
for the parents.
We
sure.
take on the responsibility of serving people. We call it from cradle, and I shouldn't say grave, but from cradle till, you know, however long you can run this thing out.
Right.
And it's really a very, it's a dynamic organization. You and I talked during the pandemic. You know, we went through the ringer during the pandemic, as you can imagine. But, you know, we're back, and I think we've never been more relevant than we are today.
Well, my question for you is, where's the nearest Y to here? Or one that you could drive me to that's 3-4 miles away?
Well, you would like this one.
Okay.
I'm sure you've been to it. The Weinberg Y on 33rd Street, where the old Memorial Stadium
is. I was there day dedicated. I have a picture of Brooks Robinson.
Yep.
Luke's going to come in. Luke met Brooks Robinson that day. He'll still tell you about that.
Yeah,
I got pictures with him that day.
And the old Ring of Honor sits in the gym there.
Cal was there.
I was just there. I came from there to this interview. Brooks, you know, there's Brooks's sign on the Ring of Honor there.
So if I go over there right now, it's roughly 11:14 on a Wednesday afternoon right now.
Yeah.
Driving. I told everybody, where's Coco's? I'm like, near Memorial Stadium, near Montebello, you know?
You're like
near
2 miles.
I could walk there. I mean, Rasig lives 2 blocks up. He's going to be here this afternoon. We'd walk over to Memorial Stadium when we were in the 80s, back in the day. I'd park at his house, and summertime, we'd take a walk.
Yeah.
What's going on? What am I going to see when I walk in? What did you just leave 45 minutes ago?
You're going to see the center of that community. You're going to see a beautiful Y that's got all the amenities that you would expect at a Y. You're going to see a world-class the Sherman Early Childhood Center, serving 110 kids, both traditional preschool and Head Start, which is federally funded. You're going to see the Cal Ripken Senior Youth Development Park right in the middle, where the field sat, where home plate was.
I haven't done this, dude.
You got to do
this. No, I'm telling you, man. Like,
you're gonna.
So
let me tell you a story.
The math on this is they left in '91. The football team played there, and the Bay Sox played there till '98.
Yeah.
I remember at the turn of the century, then Governor Schaefer and Controller Schaefer after that was yelling about keeping the memorial up.
Yeah.
It was a big, big deal. It was a big stink. I mean, I've been on here 32 years, John, so like I've been through all of this. And then it got torn down, and I literally met my wife in 03, and the first good 5 years of our marriage, I would refuse to drive down 33rd Street because the stanchions weren't there, and it made me cry. Made me really, really feel
Let me tell
empty,
you
know what I mean, to do that. But I went back, and now I can do it. I don't have any. I don't think that way anymore, so I'm ready. I'm ready to come back and walk the base.
Well, here's some good stories. I got a couple
stories. I haven't
done
that since 1998.
All right, well, you should meet me there someday.
I'm done.
I'm going to tell you a couple stories, if that's okay.
You got plenty of time.
All right, so I didn't grow up in Baltimore. I grew up in New York, right? Big, huge sports fan, baseball fan, played every sport. I grew up a big Mets fan.
You had a better year in 69 than we did.
We did.
That's right.
Yes. I was born in Flushing, New York, so there's a reason.
I walked out of the Len Dykstra game, but that's another story. I was at that game in 86.
Yeah, Len's had his issues.
Yeah, he did.
So I was working for Citibank and in New York.
And so did Strawberry and Gooden, but I gotta kick you a little bit.
Yeah,
you Mets guy. So.
1989, I was working for Citibank. I was in one of these roles where they moved me around every couple of years to experience different things. And I had the opportunity there. Actually, I was in New York. They moved me to Toronto for a couple of years. And then it was time for my next sort of rotation. And I had an opportunity to go one of three places. Seoul, Korea, back to New York, where I'm from, or to Baltimore. And I was like, well, first of all, I'd never been to Baltimore. I thought in my head I eliminated Baltimore immediately. However, it turned out the best job opportunity, the most interesting opportunity professionally, was here in Baltimore at Citibank. So long story short, that's what I picked. I moved here, Baltimore, sight unseen.
What year is this? I'm trying
1989, April. Okay,
wow,
I fly from Toronto to Baltimore.
Toronto just had a new dome at the time.
They just opened it when I was leaving.
Right.
And so I remember I flew on a Friday night. It's a short flight. Came into Baltimore to the airport, rented a car, and Citibank was putting me up at Cross Keys, right? So I get up on a Saturday morning. I don't know anyone in Baltimore. I don't know anything about Baltimore. And I was like, what the heck am I going to do until I start work on Monday? So there used to be a little deli at Cross Keys.
Of course.
I went to the deli, got something to eat, and got the Baltimore Sun.
The bar next door is where Billy Martin got in the fight.
I know, very well. I knew all that. So
there was also a Rob Deere, Robin Yount throwdown in there night that I was a reporter. I had to go to the hospital,
really?
And I sat in the emergency room with Robin Yount and Rob Deere. As a reporter, I walked in and asked them what happened in the emergency room.
I can imagine
Howard
they loved that.
Like,
what?
3 a.m, I got sent on the sports desk in the evening. Anyway.
Right.
This is 88 or 89. Yeah. So go ahead.
So I get the paper and I realize there's an Orioles game. And I'm talking to the guy at the Cross Keys Deli, and I'm like, is Memorial Stadium anywhere near here? He's like, oh, my God, it's so close. So I bought a map. This is pre-internet.
Oh, yeah.
Bought a map. He showed me where it was, and I was like, wow. Told me, you know, so.
So I'm going to have to park bumper to bumper? No.
Well, there's part of the story. So I figured, go to a baseball game, right?
Right.
So I go. Right. And and I go in and I park and I realize, wow, that guy parked right behind me. And there's a guy right in front of me. It was like a mob hit. Like, you can't get out of here. You know, with the mob, they pull up right behind you, in front of you.
My family never drove to the game. We didn't have a car, but if we did, we took the bus.
Right.
We took the 23 to the 22. The 22 bus was waiting to get us out.
You probably got out faster.
My dad and I rode the first bus.
You got out faster.
We were in Highland Town.
Well, I'm a New Yorker. I'm used to taking the subway to the game. So, you
know. Right, exactly.
Anyway, so I realized, like, I'm going to be here for this whole game. But again, like, what else did I have to do?
You can't leave.
So my first thing in Baltimore was to go to a baseball game. And Cal was playing short. Billy Ripken was the second baseman, and the father was the manager.
That was the Why Not team of
yes.
Well, that was Frank Robinson was 89.
Yep.
But yep.
And it was a good game. I believe they won. So my first experience in Baltimore, literally, was going to Memorial Stadium, right? So fast forward, I'm in Baltimore. I end up going back to New York for a while, come back to Baltimore. In 2006, I'm recruited to do this job. No interest in doing it. I don't know why. I turned them down 3 times. They kept coming after me. And after a while, I was like, all right, this seems like fun. I'll do it for a couple years, and then I'll go back to the private sector. Shows how good I am at career planning. But
your heart took over.
Yeah.
Right? Literally,
well,
right?
I mean, first of all, it was a mess, and it was a good challenge. So they described to me as a turnaround. We need a business person. So, like, that's very appealing. Over time, it became a passion, right? So it went from an interesting professional challenge to a passion. So the only why we had at the time that was in decent shape, the rest of them were disasters.
Well, they probably had no money invested in them for long time, right?
There'd been no
the
investment.
The Dundalk Y in 1990 looked like it did in 1970, probably,
no investment,
right?
No strategy. But they had built that Y because, as you were saying, finally, after all the controversy around that site, they decided, it was Schaefer and then O'Malley as mayor, said, we're going to give half of the site to the Y, but they must build a Y here, and they must do whatever. And they gave half of the site to Gedco, which is a not-for-profit that serves mostly seniors. So they built senior housing for low-income older adults. And so this was before my time. So they built a nice Y there. But right in the middle, and there's a big circle, was the old field. And it was rubble.
Nobody knew what to do with it, right?
It was rubble. So here I am, this...
Well, it's like this hallowed cemetery.
Exactly.
You don't
this
know what
goofball,
to do with it, right?
All I know is I'm a massive baseball and sports fan. This was my first experience in Baltimore. So this ground was like... meant something to me.
Everyone had
you,
an experience
right?
there, right?
But
right.
for me, it meant like... all right, this was my orientation. And it was great. It was fun. It was a baseball game in the middle of the day. Like, you got to have something wrong with you not to enjoy that. So I'm like, this is wrong, because it was just a pile of dirt and rock and rubble. And I just said, this is not right. We've got to do something about this. And eventually, it took a couple years. It turned out a really close friend of mine was hired to be the head of development at the Ripken Foundation. I had not met Cal and Bill at that point, but they had just started their foundation. And I said, well, I'm going to call them, because we ought to partner between them and us.
It's a baseball field.
It's a baseball field. It's
it's where they all played.
And
it's where dad spent 35 years of his life.
Right.
Right.
Serendipity. We were using the word serendipity. It just turned out that they had decided that one of their core strategies was to build youth development parks around the country. And they're trying to figure out where they were going to build the first one. So I said, like, I know where you're going to build the first one. It's going to be where Memorial Stadium was. And I ended up talking to Cal and Bill. And this woman, Carrie Lebo.
Owner of the Orioles, Cal Ripken. That guy.
Now,
I love saying that.
And
the new and improved Orioles.
It's great. We can talk about that later if you want.
I want to. We can talk about that all afternoon with Luke and Rasig.
It was immediate for them, too. Like, there was no... Everyone sort of realized,
right.
How could we not do this?
Right.
And so they built they helped raise the money, and then, you know, we jointly, we got this beautiful turf field built. It's a baseball, but multi-purpose. So any sport.
Lacrosse is played there. Everything, right,
lacrosse,
sure.
Soccer, football. And it's beautiful. And they named it after their dad, you know.
And that's beautiful.
That's exactly right. So it's the Cal Ripken Senior Youth Development Park. And
I'm ready.
So you're going to see that.
Spiritually ready.
And I will tell you one other story related to that, and we'll move on.
I didn't like going there that day with
Brooks
Robinson.
Like it. You're going to like it now.
It's supposed to be a stadium, and my dad's supposed to be alive. And
you're going to like
and
it
And the Colts
now.
Are supposed to be. I'm not going to be a get off my lawn guy. I mean, I'm all for change. It just took me
emotionally a little while. And to the Orioles, you know, to the credit, they built something called Camden Yards, which turned out to be a beautiful ballpark.
And we shall host a parade there that John Angelos will not attend.
Exactly.
I've been saying that for a long time. John Hoey's here. He is the why, and not like the village people, like my belt buckle. But what can people do to help participate, stop? Probably the one thing they could do in our audience, just drop by a Y and see what's going on.
Yeah.
Because that would be the first ticket to say, it probably isn't what you remember or think it is, right?
Yeah, and I would say, what can you do to help? I mean, join the Y. I mean, it's good for you. It's good for your family. And it is funny. I mean, I've had that experience with folks. They've come into Y's. I brought them into our Y's. And they look around like, oh, my God, I can't believe this is so beautiful. And I'm like, of course it is. You know, we don't do
We're
this.
We're proud of this.
We do. When we do a Y, when we do a program, when we do it, we do it first class, first rate. In my view, I don't care who you are. I don't care where you came from. I didn't come from much, I can tell you that. When you walk into a Y or you walk into a Y program, I want you to feel like $1 million. I want it to be beautiful. We all deserve the best, right? So you're not going to have gold, you know, plated toilets there. That's not what I'm talking about. But state-of-the-art, beautiful, bright spaces, welcoming people, clean, modern equipment, engaging programs. You're going to see people from all sections of society. You're going to see the wealthiest people in Baltimore as members. You're going to see people in the middle of the income bracket. You're going to see people at the bottom of the income bracket. You're going to see all races. You're going to see all parts of our society. That's who we are. There aren't many places you go anymore, Nestor, where you get to see all of our society. We've kind of sectioned everything off.
I think the plague broke down, too. Last time I think I was with you, it was some dark days.
And that made it worse.
That
just exacerbated it. So,
but also so illustrates a need for you, though.
Yes.
Right? I mean, we talk about the problems with kids in summer, and I've been talking about early childhood education with other people last couple of days, and there's more of a need forever after the plan. That's why I did the crab cake tours. All these places needed business more than ever after the plague, and conversation and what I do for a living.
Exactly.
That's what
you do for a living.
To do.
Coco's, it's a restaurant, bar, great food.
Fabric of the community.
But it's a community. People come here not just for that. You could sit at home and eat a crab cake.
They encourage you to pick them up in curbside.
And by the way, I'm going to take one on my way out for lunch.
Don't do what I did and put it in the toaster oven and try to get it out with tweezers.
No.
Don't do that.
I'm going back to my office.
They're still mad at me here that I dropped a 4-ounce crab cake and I had to tell the story about it.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Still got the shakes from that.
Can't do that. So you could join the Y. I mean, you can engage with us. You can run the turkey trot. I mean,
Whoa. That's in Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving morning.
All right. That's your Super Bowl?
Yes. Last year, we had over 15,000 participants in 6 locations.
That's a lot of people.
The governor came 2 years prior. He was supposed to come this Thanksgiving, but he got sick. Unfortunately, it is one of the largest events in the state. It's a lot of fun. It's run Thanksgiving morning, or as I said, 6 sites around the region.
One of
those is Weinberg. Is that the Weinberg Y, by the way? We get a lot of engagement that way. But you know, I've read a stat. I don't know if it's true. I'm not one to propagate misinformation, But I've read it in a couple places, so I think it's probably close to true. It says 70% of Americans have had some experience with the why.
Okay.
And so there's lots of ways to engage with us. As I said, as a member, as a somebody who runs the turkey trot every year as part of your family or neighbor tradition, you might use us for as a preschool. You don't have to worry about that anymore, but, you know.
My son's 39, and people were asking me yesterday.
He has to worry about it.
I had some friends that are grandparents that are my age. I'm like, okay, here right, we go. Here right. we go. Time's now.
Your kid may be in an after-school program in their school that's run by the Y. Summer camp.
Well, you keep saying Weinberg. I've had Harry and Jeanette Weinberg Foundation on they've done a Y. The philanthropy, and I should have had Matt Gallagher from Goldsecker this week to really, because he's so good at talking about that part of what happens for people like you, that these really rich old people from a century ago left a whole bunch of money behind, and all these years later, what was supposed to be done with it is helping somebody right over here at Memorial Stadium do something today, right?
And the Weinberg Foundation, obviously they gave a lot of money to that project, but they support us on an annual basis, and they support all our youth development work, because they know how important that is. And we get great support philanthropically. It's never enough. I mean, we all know that. I mean, it's there's a lot of great organizations out there, and there's a lot of things that need to get done. And there's a lot of there's foundations. There's a lot of people who support us. But, you know, people think, I've had people tell me, like, why do I give you money? You know, you have these big facilities and members, you know, that's, you should be fine. And it's like, no, membership is about 50% of my revenue. And I put, you know, everything goes back into our facilities and our programs. We rely on philanthropy. We have a pretty large budget. Our budget is over $100 million a year, but you know, about
100 million locally, Central
Maryland? Yes, just Central Maryland.
Oh, okay. Wow, okay.
I have about 3,000 employees, so we're huge. To make that all work, about 20% of that is philanthropy.
Okay.
Otherwise, it doesn't work. I can't, like, I keep my prices low so that people have access. I scholarship people who can't afford. My job is to get everybody involved. So if I was running the Y as a for-profit entity, and I have some experience running for-profit entities, and the model would look different. And I wouldn't spend any time worrying about getting people with lower incomes in. I would just focus on people at a certain income level and above.
Well, that's what we're getting with sports and different things. Yeah. It's like you can't afford to play, right?
Yes,
everybody
exactly.
can afford to play at the Y.
Everyone can afford to participate. And that's at our core who we will always be. And that's why, you know, we have so many, we have people who get what we do and why we do it and how our model works who fund us. It's a more complicated story than someone that does one thing in one place. And we need people to do stuff like that. So it's not one's not better than the other. But our story is more complex because we do a lot of things and we do it at scale. And there's a perception by some people that, we have all the money we possibly need through membership.
Or there's a money tree.
Yeah, like we're just printing money in the back somewhere.
John Hoey's here. He is the why. And, you know, you can ask him why. Go find him. We're doing a thing here for the Maryland Food Bank today. We're at Coco's. We're doing live radio all week because I'm crazy and it's old school. And it really feels right. If you want to stop by, bring canned goods, dried goods, all that kind of stuff, we would love to have that here at Coco's. We'll be at State Fair in Catonsville on Thursday. Friday, we're going to be at Pappas in Cockeysville. It is a cup of soup or bowl. I'm clever, right?
If
you say that real
very
fast.
Good.
We used to do Radio Row out at the Super Bowl. Yeah, and I've already pointed out the weather's better here. We're at Crab Cake Row, and it is a Cup of Super Bowl. Our friends at the Maryland Lottery, I feel like Oprah. You get a lottery ticket, John Hoey.
Right.
So there you go. 10 times the cash. Our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. I got the wacky hat. I did windows a year and a half ago. I'm saving money right now with my electricity. I'm going to do doors this year because I can see the daylight under the door.
Oh, yeah.
So I need to do something about that. Also, Jiffy Lube Multi Care supporting us. Our friends at Wise Markets and Royal Farms sort of put me up to this. I saw Jamie Costello. I'm shopping at Wise at Udawood back at Thanksgiving time, and my wife parked away from the front door, and there was three giant tents set up, and Jamie was doing a live thing with Carmen Del Guecho, who's going to be on the show first thing Thursday morning at State Fair from the food bank. And Wise has been my partner forever. And I don't know, the seeds of all of this, I cried about it on Monday, but I can tell you, my dad stood in soup lines in 1929. My dad was from Scranton, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Came down here to work on the bombers. That's how he got here in the 40s in Essex.
Right.
And my dad would always say to me, my dad never voted for a Republican after Herbert Hoover. So he always thought the song, that All in the Family, you know.
Yeah, those were the days.
Yeah, right. We could use a man like Herbert Hoover again.
Yeah.
My dad would just curse a blue streak in the 70s about that. So my dad starved in after the Depression, 1929-30,
right.
And stood in soup lines. I haven't spent a night of my life without food. You know what I mean? And,
right.
And all along the last 2 days, all I've heard about are kids that are going to bed hungry in this city and in this area, in this region.
In this region.
In every neighborhood.
It's not just the city.
In every neighborhood.
People think it's just the city. It's across the place. And by the way, we partner with Maryland Food Bank. Carmen's an awesome guy. We actually have put food pantries in several of our Y's.
Good.
And we do a lot of work in food, the food insecurity world. A lot of our community schools, we have food pantries there. So I understand that issue. I agree with you. I mean, and organizations like ours and Maryland Food Bank, we know we can work together to get more done than by working separately. So there's a lot of good stuff that goes on in this community that people don't understand. And it's not just one of us doing it on our own. It's banding together to do stuff that needs to get done.
No, that's why I did this week. I mean, I just felt like we're not going to go to the Super Bowl and do that after 27 years. We're going to do something bigger and better and more local and more meaningful. And, you know, all these years doing Super Bowl, I'm going to run some of that next week, some best of, and you want to hear Dan Marino or Joe Montana or any of these people we had on the show. They all had a cause. They all sat down and they were doing this for that, and oh, by the way, this is for the kids or this is for education. There was always an angle. I do this for the why or you know, whatever that angle would be for people. And I thought, well, you know, if I'm going to be blackballed by the National Football League after 3 decades, I'm going to be very welcome at Coco's and at State Fair and at Pappas and at Fadley's and at Costas, and we're going to do a good turn. So I appreciative of your friendship over the years. I think I met you in the hallway at my house 20 years ago. Am I correct?
Entirely possible.
They were throwing a party at there was a condo that was across the hall.
Yeah.
They did a holiday party every year.
I think that's right.
It was an insurance group, Zurich. Zurich Insurance owned the condo adjacent to my hallway for years. And they sold it to a regular person years ago. But you were at a holiday party, and I was in the hallway, and I saw you.
Mm-hmm.
So 20 years later, it's great to have you on and learn.
And neither of us has aged. That's a great thing.
We'll go to that Mets-Orioles World Series.
Yeah.
Second generation.
That'd be fun.
You have any 69 memories or no?
I have a lot of 69 memories. Let me tell you a quick story.
I'll tell you, Ron Swoboda was never welcome back here.
Yeah.
I'll tell you.
Well,
we
never
let him east of Fells Point again.
I was 10 years old. Huge Mets fan.
Mets
were terrible. You know, they were terrible. They were still a new franchise then. We had moved to upstate New York by then, so I had moved out of the city.
Was your family Dodgers, Giants, or not?
I get my baseball roots from my grandfather on my mother's side. He was a New York Giants
fan. A polo
fan. They lived in northern tip of Manhattan, right by the Polo Grounds.
Okay.
So he transferred his allegiance to the Mets, and that's how I became a Mets fan, right? Like, we know that sports gets passed down from generations.
Of course it does.
Right? That's where that's where I became a Mets
fan. There are still Dodgers fans in Brooklyn somewhere.
There are. Not as many, because for a lot of reasons. So anyway, we had moved upstate New York by then, but, you know, I was living and dying every game. Back then, the games weren't on TV as much. So,
then you got OR and you got hooked up.
Oh, yep. Transistor radio. Listening to every game
with
at night.
Ralph Kiner, manufacturers, yep.
Lizzie
Hanover.
Nelson.
Right, exactly. There you
all
go.
Those guys. And so, obviously, they went on won the World Series. Nobody who was a Mets fan expected any of that. So after the World Series, the Mets went on sort of a little tour around the state, right, to celebrate. So they came up to a shopping mall in Albany, New York, which is near where I was living at the time.
When you say they, is this like Ed Cranepool? Or
yeah.
Is this like, okay, all right.
A lot of the players.
Okay.
It was a lot.
It was a real caravan.
It was, and
all right.
It was, you know, the old style shopping mall inside. So they kind of, they were in cars and they kind of drove around the mall. And we all stood there, you know.
So
like,
it was a parade.
Parade.
All right.
And so since you're a 10, when you're a 10-year-old kid, you're so ecstatic that A, your Mets won, and B, they're right there. I jumped in one of the cars. It was Jim McAndrew, who was a pitcher. And, like, I couldn't control myself. I was so excited. So instead of just standing there, I jumped in the car with Jim McAndrew. And he was very nice. I think a cop kind of told me I shouldn't be in the car. I'm sure my parents were mortified.
There was a picture circulating last week that someone here locally found and put on one of the heritage sites. And it's Louis Aparicio in the 66.
Yeah.
He's in a car.
Yeah.
In the 66 parade.
Well, that's
and
very much how they used to do it, right?
Right. I mean, that was, and it had his name on the side,
yes,
of some
exactly.
beautiful blue Impala,
right,
from 1967 or
and
something.
Everybody,
there it is right there. I don't know. Can you tell me what kind of car
it.
That is?
Oh,
but there's
gosh,
Louis, the
sure.
Carling Brewing Company.
Yeah,
I'll
yeah.
show that
he
to
had a sponsor.
So,
right.
Yeah, there was a sponsor. And there's the car. And
I
there's
love
Louis.
It.
And Louis was in the 60s. So this is exactly what you're talking about.
Same
right?
thing,
yeah.
right. And again, imagine you were 10 years old. You might have jumped in the car, right?
Well, I've done a couple of parades here. We thought we were going to have some parades last
yeah.
year. We won a couple of divisions around here.
Yeah.
I got to let you get out of here because Marcella's right. going to come on. Marcella's doing this whole thing that if you want to come over here and give cash to the Maryland Food Bank, she's going to hook you up with like a $25 gift card. So we're very appreciative of that. So come on over, give some cash. Come on over, bring some canned goods. Come on over, bring some dry goods. It's all for the Maryland Food Bank. It is a cup of Super Bowl. We're calling this Crab Cake Row. And John Hoey's about to have his mind blown here because he's got the Weinberg thing right over at the 33rd Street in the Cal Ripken Senior in the and he can walk here. He might have to walk back if he eats this 11-ounce crab cake over here, but you're about to have your world change here today.
Yeah,
you a cup of Maryland crab soup.
Yeah.
We're going to get you a crab cake. And tell folks how to just go to the Y, right?
Yeah.
Just go to the Y.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
A lot
Thank
of people
you.
Have websites and this and that. You keep it nice and simple. Our
yeah,
friends
yeah.
at the Maryland Lottery are keeping it simple. 10 times the cash. I'm giving these away all week as well. We'll be at State Fair all day Thursday, Pappas and Cockeysville on Friday. On Saturday, I'll rest. And then on Sunday, I don't know if you have this shot. They're playing a big game. It's a big game
yeah,
out
heard
in
that.
Las Vegas. It's the 58th time they played the big game. We're going to be at Hollywood Casino in Perryville.
There won't be any purple in that game.
My wife and I went to Hollywood Casino for the Flacco. It wasn't. We saw the Flacco when they lost.
Yeah.
But we were there because we didn't want to get Peacock.
Yeah.
So it was an anti-Peacock thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So we went up there on that Saturday night and watched that awful Chiefs-Dolphins disaster in that four-degree
yeah.
day or whatever. But we started playing with blackjack. We got to, you know, so we're going to be up Sunday night at, even though we're not in the game, and Tay-Tay's going to be there and all that on the big screens. We'll be at the sports bar and the sports book, Hollywood Casino. You can bring your kids. It's outside of the casino, but adjacent to the casino. You can send them over to Great Wolf Lodge if the flood's done, and you can sit down and watch the game and have a proper cheeseburger.
My twin girls and my wife are going to the lodge this weekend with friends because my girls, I have twin girls who turned 14 this.
Well, so you bring them up and about 3:30, 4 o'clock, come on over, I'll buy you a beer, we'll watch a pregame
right.
show. And they are beautiful. I mean, it's a Vegas style
yeah, yeah.
facility. I mean, it's beautiful. So come on up, Hollywood Casino, Perryville. Ample free parking, and you can beat the toll and see the beautiful eagles up there now. The eagles are all nesting on the Conowingo.
Oh,
so
wow.
my wife and I are going to go up a little early and eagle watch because you will see an eagle. If you
wow.
go up there and you will see an eagle. If
eagle.
You look, you'll see an eagle. You'll see the nest. You'll see the juveniles. It's a beautiful thing. They're right by McFall's Iron Horse Tavern, to give a free plug to my buddy Glenn over there. If you go north on Cromwell Bridge Road from
yep.
McFall's, there are nesting eagles along the waterway. Just
wow,
up
that's
between
wonderful.
There
that's
and
awesome.
Like,
yeah,
we it's near the radio station. We go out on Sunday mornings and watch the eagles this time of year.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not the Philadelphia Eagles.
I was going to say, well, they're home too.
Yeah, it's not the Coppin State Eagles either, who are partners. All right, we're near Morgan State. Don't tell my Coppin State friends that, but wherever Coco's, I'm getting a crab cake as big as my head right at 5:01. But between now and then, Luke Jones will be here. Mike Resigliano is going to be here. We are going to do some brain injury stuff later in the day, and we've done some community and charity party here in the morning, but we're going to do a lot of sports today, man. I haven't had Lucan all week.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know, the baseball team was like, is going to get sold. So there's news. And we got the football thing happening
That's
too with all
news.
The Ortizes and the Anthony Weavers and the Mike McDonalds. So Rasig and Luke, lots of sports today. But so stay with us. It's officially 11:45 right now, but we're Cocos. Come by and say hello. Back for more on WNST right after this.